everyone, welcome back to the Earthdawn Survival Guide, the podcast for all disciplines, paths, players, and game masters, with your questers Josh and Dan. I'm Dan.
I'm Josh.
And on today's podcast, we will be discussing all things caracal and spelunkical, because I'm kind of running out of words that end in A-L, but we're going to talk about how to survive care diving, like we've done the other parts of Bar Save. So if you have any questions for us or any comments about what we're going to talk about tonight, please drop us a line at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Initial thoughts, Josh, and not about my made-up words.
Well, you know what my thoughts are on those. We've been doing yes. this long enough. Initial
Almost
thoughts.
Almost 200 episodes, yeah.
Cares can be a pretty significant aspect of a game, if you want them to be. They were, of course, very significant in Bar Save and other parts of the world, but Bar Save in particular, because it was how most people survived the Scourge. They are an in-setting explanation, in part, for why you have your underground complexes full of traps and treasure and nasty creatures.
Yeah.
Another example of how Earthdawn took some of those common tropes of D&D-style fantasy gaming and kind of built a setting that explained why they were the way they were.
Earthdawn gave reasons.
Yes. Not that other games okay. didn't, but...
Ours are better.
Earthdawn was certainly one of the earlier examples of a game that did that, at least to my knowledge.
Fair. I have no argument to make. So, in reading the section out of the actual Earthdawn Survival Guide book from first edition, this is the cares are kind of like the most common destination and the most dangerous. Is
yeah.
what the essay says.
In some regards, if you are talking about a typical sort of exploration and investigation type of campaign where you are seeking lost knowledge or trying to find and save people that are still alive and for some reason still within a care, there are certainly plenty of examples of other ruins and structures and things like that that you can be involved with, but cares are kind of iconic when it comes to Earthdawn. And yet, there aren't a lot of concrete examples of them that have been Fair. Part of published materials. You had Mists of Betrayal. We talked about
yes.
that in the past.
Yeah.
You have Talon Care in Terror in the Skies.
Yes. The tomb of... It's a tomb. It's not a care.
Never yeah. Runevere's tomb is a tomb.
Yeah. I keep getting stuck on that one. Sorry.
There are a lot more examples that show up in later publications that are more traditional ruins.
Yeah. One of the Earthdawn Journal had Care Dolgar.
Yeah. You could sort of see Parlaenth as a gigantic care.
Yes.
Some of the things that we're going to talk about today can sort of be related to things when it comes to exploring and dealing with Parlaenth.
Yeah.
Ardanyan, yeah, that's a good one from Classic / Third Edition,
mm-hmm.
which is an adventure that kind of starts in a care, or at least one of the ways to approach that adventure is that way.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, just quickly mentally running through, I mean, you could argue that adventures that take place in Thrall are care-related, but not really in the way that we're going to be talking about today. I mean, Thrall yeah. was a care, but it has been open for quite a while, and a lot of the stuff that applies to most care delving doesn't really apply to Thrall.
Yeah, it's inhabited.
Well, other cares may be inhabited as well, but there just aren't a lot of examples. And I think this was another case where it was something that was a focus of early development because we have the first two published adventures, both featured cares.
Yes.
But then as the story of Bar Save continued and the setting was expanded,
mm-hmm.
there aren't a lot of concrete examples of cares you just have some stuff that was in the original Bar Save box set, and then some material here in the original survival guide that kind of talks about them broadly. You also have Cairs feature in a couple of the novels.
True.
Talisman, the short story collection, features several stories in it that are set in a Care, the same Care for multiple stories. There's like three, I think, maybe, that that are in there, two or three.
Yeah, because there's five stories total. I think one's before and one's after. So I think you're right that the middle three are, I think.
And then, of course, there's Lost Care by Nigel Findlay.
Well, yeah.
Which is another one. This is something that actually has kind of popped up in discussions on the Discord a little bit. Questions about what are Cares like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're gonna talk about that today.
Yeah, we're gonna cover a good hour. Guaranteed. So
don't make promises, man.
I'm the editor. I can take that part out.
We'll have what we have. You always say that, oh, we'll take that part out, and it never gets taken out.
I've taken out at least one or two. I know I have. Anyway, so first part so mostly this is for game masters when you are planning your Care. If you're going to make an adventure set to have the Care as the destination, to get in, explore, do what you got to do, and then get back out. So this is mostly for it's going to be half and half.
Yeah.
How the player characters can survive exploring the Care, and what the game master should think of when creating that Care for them to explore. So you got to think of your world building in these, I can't say four walls, but in these walls.
This is also stuff that could be applicable if you are running a game that, like Ardanian's Revenge, may be starting in a Care. Or if you have a group that is just newly emerged from a Care, that is a very popular approach for games that are featuring new players, because it gives a good excuse for them not to really know a lot about what's going on in the world. These considerations are also something that you'll want to keep in mind if you are developing that home community or that base of operations that the group is starting with.
Yes. So let's start with the overall concept of the Care. To Josh's point, this is an underground civilization, society, community, group, whatever, and it was basically designed to keep horrors out. That's the main purpose.
Yes, and to keep the people in it alive.
Yes.
In other ways as well.
To make not to put too fine a point on it, this is your bomb shelter from the 1960s, where if everything was going to get nuked, how you were going to survive for decades until it was safe to come out. That's essentially what this is. We've described Earthdawn as a post-apocalypse. This was the apocalypse, the scourge. It wasn't nuclear, but there's that. And it was designed to keep horrors out and everybody inside safe, fed, happy, the whole nine yards. So when you are exploring the Care, once you get in, if it's not inhabited, inhabited is a whole different story. If it's not inhabited, like everyone made it out, but you're going there for some other purpose, watch out for, of course, the things we've already talked about: crumbling structures, traps, creatures that are now inhabiting it, diseases that you just now uncovered, kicked up the dust on, or, of course, horrors. And the reasons for going: priceless treasures, threat items, history, magic books, whatever.
Well, let's talk about traps first, because if you are delving into a Care, if you are going in to explore a Care, and of course, I remembered the short story in earlier editions.
Yeah.
Features a Care delve as well. Inheritance.
Right.
That's a pretty significant Care exploration story as well.
Yeah.
So one of the ways that Cares helped protect from the horrors, there were really two main ways. One was by being secret, by being underground, by being hidden away in existing cave structures or mines, or possibly excavating new tunnels and such to house the community, but hopefully in a place and masking it in some way so that it could get overlooked by the horrors. That was an advantage that Cares had over citadels. the main difference between the two is that citadels were basically a care that was still on the surface.
Yeah.
Like Trevar was a citadel. Jarrus was a citadel. Iopos was a citadel. There were many other citadels as well. Kratos, for example, was a citadel that did not survive the Scourge. And there are unspecified, but I'm sure numerous other examples of manors and castles and other structures that tried to house a community on the surface with protections, and those being more noticeable, were more likely to fall to the horrors. I don't remember the names now off the top of my head, but there were three prominent citadels in Landis that all fell to the horrors during the Scourge.
Yeah, because they were just beacons.
Yeah. Cairns being underground did have the advantage that they could potentially be overlooked. But if they did get noticed, they had extra protections by the fact that by being underground within the living rock of the earth, there were limited avenues to get at them. Mm-hmm. And so those avenues would be protected by a mix of mundane and magical traps, whether your traditional deep pits with spikes, blade traps, rock falls,
fireball magic.
Yeah, magical wards that would trigger a spell that would hopefully cause significant damage and things like that.
Yeah.
And so the approaches to the care would be protected by this. If you have a care that successfully made it through the Scourge and the people within it emerged, many of those traps are likely to be deactivated or inert to some extent, because there would have been mechanisms in place for the residents of the care to turn them off in order
to get out.
Right. Which meant that a lot of the mechanisms and normal methods of deactivating and bypassing the traps are usually on the other side of the trap if you are descending down through the tunnels into the place. Now, if you've got a care that has not survived, whether it's been breached or the residents succumbed to some kind of catastrophe or disaster or whatever, then those traps are likely to be still in place.
Yeah.
Possibly weakened as a result of neglect or time or various other things. But because of the fear, especially of more powerful horrors, the traps going into a care's entrance are apt to be nasty and powerful and deadly.
Yeah, they were meant to kill horrors, not just your player characters.
Yeah, horrors were generally, you know, unlike normal wildlife, horrors generally would not be likely to be dissuaded by running into obstacles like that.
Yeah.
So that is something to keep in mind, is the traps and the protections and the ways that horrors would be prevented from getting in.
Agreed. And
another feature that could sometimes be a part of these entry tunnels, these guarded, these trapped corridors that lead to the care itself, is there might have been parts of them or areas of them where actual fighting could happen, where defenders, adepts, militia, soldiers, or whatever could square off against horrors that managed to get through some of the outside traps.
Yeah.
And into further areas. So you could have switchback tunnels or areas where defenders could fire crossbows or arrows or toss acid vials or Greek fire or things like that at enemies on the other side without necessarily exposing themselves as much to the physical danger that the horrors could provide.
Yeah, some like castle battlements. You know, you've got narrow vertical slits for your archers to shoot arrows through, but they're still protected by the bricks. So, and if they made like a foyer of fighting, you know, right there in the tunnel that would widen out in case there needed to be some hand-to-hand combat or some spell combat with the horror, so they could retreat down the narrow tunnel as well. So think strategically when you're creating this care pathway down to it.
Yeah. And that area from the exterior entrance to the care to the care itself, that span of area is where a lot of the most expected dangers are going to be between your traps and switchback corridors and deadfalls and wards and all that sort of stuff.
And dead-end tunnels.
And dead-end tunnels, yeah, and diversions. There was actually, if I'm recalling correctly, in Talisman, there was a sort of trap tunnel that had a magical lure that attracted the horror down to get trapped there rather than being able to access and go down the tunnel that would actually lead to
the front doors.
The chewy center of the care.
The care Tootsie Roll Pop, yes.
So that is something to talk about. Now, I'm going to kind of take a step back here as well to address something else here. And that is that you really should think of a care as you are designing a care. And this is going to sort of tie into the next area that we're going to talk about as a location, as a community, as a place, as a setting. And so you're going to want to kind of consider the same sorts of things that you would for a town or village or other community that you would have on the surface.
Yeah.
Once you get past those outer defenses and you are into the care itself, because this is an area where people are going to be living, you are not likely to run into the deadly traps and hazards and so forth that you have in the outer tunnels. There may be some areas that have some defenses or protections on them, but not the kind generally that would end up being fatal. They would end up more the kind of thing that would be likely to dissuade an individual from, say, getting into the water supply and messing around with it.
Yeah.
There might also be a bolt hole or safe room or layered defenses where you might not have deadly traps and protections like you have in the outer tunnels, but an area where you could evacuate and close it off to basically put another layer of defenses or barrier essentially between yourself and whatever is breaking them. That's kind of like generally kind of a last resort thing, and is likely to end up with much more cramped population, but that is something else that could be there.
Kind of like a panic room.
Yeah, kind of like a panic room. I am not a huge fan, personally, of mapping out every square meter of the care.
Yeah.
I much prefer to think of it as a kind of space and what the different spaces that you need to have are and how they relate to each other, the overall, broadly speaking, physical structure, and how that environment and the residents within it would have shaped that environment to make it livable, for it to be their space. Like, for example, we'll talk about Talon Care in Terror in the Skies.
Yeah.
That is a windling care. It was a care that was designed pretty much exclusively for windlings to live in. And so the considerations that are there and the obstacles that the player characters encounter and have to deal with as they are exploring and delving into the depths of this location have to do with obstacles of the environment. The fact that they are in a space that for the most part was not built to accommodate them.
Yeah, this is a vertical care.
Yeah, it's vertical because windlings don't really have a concern. They have three-dimensional, but it's also small in the sense that the homes and houses and living structures that the windlings had there are for windlings.
Yes.
Smaller characters like dwarves and slim humans and whatnot might be able to sort of get into them, but they are going to be incredibly awkward for trolls and obsidian men and orcs and any sort of burlier characters that might be there.
When I ran that, I had a party of two orcs and a troll who had to go into that care. Falling damage took place.
The other thing to keep in mind, and I think we may have touched on this briefly quite a while ago when we were talking about cavalrymen.
Yeah.
And the difficulty of cavalrymen when it comes to care diving.
Yeah.
That is that because of the mental space that D&D style dungeons take up within the fantasy gaming realm, there is this idea that a care is made up of a bunch of 10-foot wide corridors with rooms coming off of them, that it feels very cramped.
Yeah, very boxy, boxed in.
Very boxy. It's like trying to take your horse into a hotel, right?
Or down a mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, down a mine.
But the thing to keep in mind is that the people living in the care and all of the stuff within the care and the materials to build whatever they might have needed to build in there and to get their goods and supplies and livestock, because many cares would have taken animals in with them to serve as a source of milk, meat,
clothing,
leather, wool, whatever, they would have needed a space that would have been able to accommodate them. And so the tunnels, both leading to the care and the space within the care itself, are likely to be large enough to accommodate those sorts of things, that the entry tunnels, as winding and trap-laden as they might have been, are probably large enough to accommodate carts or wagons that would have been used to carry stuff.
Yeah.
To get those goods and supplies and living materials and personal effects that people would have taken into the care with them.
Yeah.
And so there would be room for a cavalryman to take their mount or for a beastmaster to have their animals with them. Things might be a little bit cramped or difficult to deal with at times, but once you get into the main living chamber, which could be multiple chambers, but the main living space is likely to be a fairly sizable and, as such things might be considered, roomy space, because it would be a place that scores, if not hundreds, or maybe even potentially thousands of people would have been expecting to live in for centuries.
Yeah.
If the care was planned appropriately, there probably would have been an expectation or planning for there to be more space for the population to potentially expand into during the course of the scourge. And if there wasn't, due to whatever environmental conditions applied, it's possible that the care might have had some kind of population controls in place to prevent the population from outstripping the space and resources available.
Very likely so. We've talked about the entryway tunnels, the blind curves, the steep climbs, and all the traps to kill the horrors. Remember, any care with an obvious, easy-to-find entrance has probably already obviously been explored, either by the horrors or a party ahead of yours. So, by anybody within the last 100 years or so, any care you're going to find now is either going to be a little bit more of a mystery, much more of a challenge, much more of an obstacle or larger endeavor to undertake, or is a puzzle, like a hidden entrance, illusion magic entrance, which is also going to be very powerful, by the way, because again, trying to throw off the horrors, who have a magical level higher than most of your folks, and or the care you're going to find now has a false facade, it's camouflaged with expert craftsmanship. So none of this is going to be easy to find, much less breach.
The only exception to that would be cares in areas that are very, very difficult to explore in general. Cares in the Badlands or the Wastes would be more likely to be easier to find because those areas are so difficult to explore in the first place. Not as many adepts or exploratory groups or whatever would have had the opportunity to locate them.
Yeah, fair. So the first thing about your cares, when they were designed, ideally they were built around already existing natural caves, because half of your work was done. There was a kind of time crunch. I mean, they had warning of a couple of decades, But still, that's a lot of work to undertake to dig holes from scratch.
Yeah, especially if you're looking to dig a hole that is large enough to support a community.
Or two, or three, or whatever.
Or two, or three, or however many came together. As part of that, since natural cave structures or existing mine excavations and things like that would be highly sought after, you are a lot more likely to have cairns located in mountainous or hilly regions than you would out in the plains.
Yeah.
While there certainly could be natural caves and stuff like that within the rolling plains and highlands of Barsave before you get into the actual mountains and whatnot.
Yeah.
There is not as likely to be territory that is conducive to that. Of course, people would make do with whatever they had, but that's the general feeling of it.
Exactly, because if you start digging just a hole in the earth in the plains, there, you notice in the spell book, there's no dig earth spell. So it's going to take you a long time and people with shovels.
There is no dig earth spell, but elementalists would have been, especially powerful elementalists, would have been very highly desired because of their ability to summon and or work with spirits that would be able to make the work a little bit easier.
Move some earth faster. In reading the text from the Earth on Survival Guide book, the earliest cairns, once people actually got the designs from the Therans and paid their fee, the earliest cairns collapsed and had to be rebuilt because they hadn't tried this out in ever. So one of those things. So the basic Theran design started with a large central chamber to act as kind of a town square. And then you had kind of little ancillary bits off this tunnel down here, this tunnel over there, whatever the case may be. So if you're designing your care for the adventures to end up in, is it going to be along that Theran design or something else? Just something to keep track of. Mostly these large central chambers were decorated beautifully with art and carvings and places to sit and so forth and so on, because you had to entertain yourselves for a couple of hundred years. So this is kind of like your, again, town square, meeting hall, lunch area, picnic vestibule, and whatever you want to call it. Just some design implements to keep in mind there. Large light quartz and a lot of smaller light quartzes were strategically placed around the care so that there was constant light from all angles. And so not a lot of dark corners for people to get scared with, because that's not a good thing.
Yeah, and dark corners also potentially provided places for things that might have breached the care to hide or to catch people unawares, whether horrors or constructs or any other kind of dangerous subterranean beasties that might show up.
Yes. And I loved reading some of the short stories where in certain parts of the cairns, the light quartzes had just faded over so much time. The magic hadn't been re-imbued, where this was like almost a flickering light, which is reminiscent of a horror film. And some of them were still shining brightly because those enchantments lasted longer. So little details to throw in your flavor text.
Yeah. If you recall from our discussion of the Kingdom of Thrall, however long ago that was, halls of Thrall, the tunnels of Thrall that were the care during the Scourge were all wide, relatively high-ceilinged tunnels, brightly decorated with mosaics and artwork and so forth, as a way not only of bringing some kind of beauty and life to the community, but also a way of perhaps maintaining lore or history or things like that. One of the things perhaps that you could use as a hook for venturing into a care, perhaps as you're looking for the information about a key knowledge on a thread item. The information might be part of a mosaic or decoration that is actually in the care that you need to go into and see it in order to figure out what it's referring to and whatnot. That maybe there is a reference to that care that you find in your initial research in the library, but there's no image of it there. And they just sort of talk about this mosaic or whatever in an adventurer's journal.
Yeah. This fresco, this painting. One of the adventures I've run previously mentioned a whole bunch of tapestries. So there could be tapestries in there as well.
Yeah, the problem with tapestries is that they don't tend to survive a long time.
Not so much. Yeah.
Depending on the conditions of the care, the conditions of the cave system that it's part of.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking about like a sort of dry desert style care where there's not a lot of moisture, you could have fabric or tapestries or things like that that actually could survive a certain amount of time. But yeah, it's really more durable stuff that is likely to stick around, especially if the care has been opened to the elements.
Oh, like stone carving hieroglyphics have lasted 6,000 years so far. So much more than parchment or or clothing on mummies. The large central chamber is the main Theron design, which of course is what you were going to find most of the time when people actually agreed to the Theron's price. There, the living quarters, there's a communal bath, kind of offshoots down corridors. And so kind of keep those things in mind where people would actually live. I have this idea in my head right now of lots and lots of tiny homes, because tiny houses are kind of becoming a thing right now. So think of that. Lots of tiny homes, you know, all kinds of different insides to those homes, because people can design where they were going to live, where their family was going to live, but they're all stacked together, or they're all kind of jumbled together in a patch or pastiche work.
Yeah, kind of like condos or townhouses or something like that.
Yeah.
Or think of like, if you want to talk about kind of like the population density that you're looking at, look at old cities, old parts of medieval European cities.
Yeah.
Where you did not have McMansions taking up like, you know, 15 rooms with three people living in them or whatever.
Exactly. No.
That these would be apartments, like small apartments, studio apartments.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably have varying levels of living quarters.
Yeah.
Because there would likely be maybe larger ones for larger families if there weren't sort of strict population controls. You might actually have spaces that were kind of like dorms in a sense. If you think of like dorm suites that you often find on college campuses nowadays, where there's a communal shared living chamber that then individual bedrooms are off of, you could have a setup kind of like that. Naturally, because society is the way it is, there would likely be areas that would be more posh, for lack of a better term, nicer places that the higher ranking members of the society would live in. It could be that there is some living space that is part of that central chamber. That central chamber would likely have any kind of civic offices or town hall or whatever the sort of equivalent of it would be. And perhaps the leaders of the care would have their living quarters as part of that space. One of the things to keep in mind with regards to a care is that there really would not be any wasted space.
No.
Everything that is there would have a purpose, would have a reason to be there. And it could be, when we're talking about living quarters here, that if the population grows, it's possible that some later excavations could be done to provide more living space.
Yeah.
And that could potentially cause problems, potentially threaten the structural integrity of the caverns itself, could potentially expose the care to hazards, whether horrors or whatever. One of the advantages of having underground cares is that you can always sort of dig deeper.
Yep, true.
You run into the same potential threats that you would in the sort of underground exploration thing that we talked about, with potential unknown water sources or hazardous gases or,
yes,
heaven forbid, magma or, you know, anything like that. Because the problem that you would run into in a situation like that is that it's difficult enough trying to get out of a regular cave situation. If you're in a care, there's nowhere to go.
Agreed.
You could open the doors and go out, but then you are just exposing yourself and your community to whatever threats can make their way inside.
Yeah. And if the care is completely underground, which is what the whole difference between a citadel and a care is, if the care is underground, most of the magical, if the magical wards are still in place, which is probably doubtful, they're like spherical, because the horrors, if they could find a tunnel to come in underneath, from the side, from the top, doesn't matter, they'd find it. And so the magical wards would be in a sphere all around the care itself. Okay.
Well, possibly. It depends. There are some different ways that could be done. If you are looking at a traditional existing cave system care.
Fair.
You would probably have wards and protections at whatever entrance was sealed off within those tunnels as the entrance to the care. And you might have some wards or protections on the sort of inner walls of that to perhaps help reinforce the strength of the structure.
Yeah.
Both from a physical and magical point of view. But the advantage of those existing caves is that the living earth itself acts as a barrier, acts as a magical ward of sorts. Now, that does not, as you say, prevent a dedicated horror who might have constructs that are able to dig through the earth and eventually breach a care that way.
Fair.
But that's generally a lot of effort unless there is already some kind of weakened situation, you know, like an existing seam, or it's close to another tunnel that's not part of the care system, or a pocket cavern or something like that. Those are all certainly things to keep in mind. And as you are developing your care and the story of this community and what happened to it, if it was breached, if it fell, whatever the situation was, these are things to keep in mind and avenues that you could explore as ways that things could have gone wrong.
Absolutely. A couple little building things to help your ambiance in your care. We talked about the light sources and the light quartzes. Sorry. Most cares had a magically treated crystals infused with true air to act as air filters, because again, you have to breathe in oxygen, breathe out carbon dioxide. That will eventually get topsy-turvy as far as the air combination is concerned. So,
yeah, those sorts of magical crystals would help with the problem of stale air. Obviously, again, you've got an underground community. There would have been at least some area dedicated to growing crops.
Yes.
However, they arranged that within their care. And so there would have been plants. In fact, I imagine that it would not be uncommon for at least some cares to have quite a bit of greenery, where if you've got a space where, say, your main cavern has an area that has actual sort of small homes that were built in it that have roof gardens or something like that, a space on top where you could have soil, you know, that's recycled or whatever through the methods that are done there to grow crops and whatnot, the same similar way that people have their own gardens at home today.
Yeah. And are composting.
Yeah. And are composting and whatnot. That's another aspect, is that just like there wouldn't be any wasted space, there would not really be any wasted resources. Everything would be used for as long as it could and recycled or repurposed as best as it could in order to survive. Because again, you don't have a convenient dumping ground outside of the town limits that you can just kind of toss your trash.
Oh yeah. Waste reclamation is going to be huge in a care.
Yeah. In the Longing Ring, there's the care that Jerol's community came out of.
Yes.
This kind of relates to that in a sense of how they dealt with their dead. When you've got a place that's going to be a sealed community for 400 years, people are going to die. You need to figure out what you're going to do with them, especially when you're looking at a situation where you don't necessarily want them to be reanimated and used against you if something were to go wrong.
Exactly.
And so there was this lie pit, magical composting sort of thing, where the bodies would be put into this goo that would break them down.
Yeah.
That could be used for stuff like that. But yeah, composting, any kind of organic matter would be used, again, probably with some magical assistance, to turn into.
Yeah. What are the ones in Thrall called again? They go around and pick up all the
Muckers Guild.
Thank you. The Muckers Guild. Every care would have their own little Muckers section as well.
Yeah.
I never remember that name. Never remember that name. So yes, they would have crystals treated for air filters. There's wells for water or bound water sprites or a portal to an elemental plane of water to get your fresh water to come in and feed your crops and water your people. Think of all of these little things. To Josh's point, there is some areas for some places to have some livestock. Some cares may have had livestock. Some cares may have had a lot of livestock. Some cares may have had no livestock. Depends upon the communities that went into those cares. But yeah, milk, meat, hides, all of that. So instead of fields of crops and sunlight, the essay mentions that they had growing caves and you had vertical lattices for all of your crops. Kind of like hydroponics.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's like magical hydroponics.
I had the same thought. I'm like, hey, ahead of the curve.
No wasted space.
Yes.
Take as much space as you can. And trying to get a certain variety of crops and whatnot to provide a certain amount of variety to one's diet.
Yeah.
I can certainly imagine that some cares, similar to the artwork and mosaics and things like that, I imagine that cooking and the various preparations and recipes and different ways of dealing with food would be mm-hmm. a great way of expression, not just as a perhaps way to continue to demonstrate that you are free of horror taint, because that was something yeah. that was also an aspect of life in the cares, but just to provide a variety, to provide yeah. something else that would divert one's attention from the fact that your world was essentially this smallish enclosed space.
Yep. You got to have your little bouts of joy here and there in all the sameness that is your environment.
Herb gardens and places like that, that provide some variety and flavor and spice to one's cuisine.
Absolutely.
Would be highly sought after.
Yeah. And maybe you're going down to find one spice that this one care had that nobody else had, and it's a delicacy or something along those lines. The whole spice trade is why we had global, you know, exploration on this planet. So spices, don't discount those. So in these growing caves, they had special light crystals, kind of like grow lights that we have now, you know, grow house plant lights type thing. That'll be that. But many of the staple things that don't take up a lot of room, beans. Rice takes up a lot of water, so don't think a lot about rice. But I also know that farmers rotate crops to use peas, because peas actually don't steal so much from the soil as they reinvigorate the soil.
You would probably have some nitrogen fixers.
Yes.
Would be an important aspect of things.
Absolutely.
Of course, one of the other advantages that having livestock would be is that the manure would be very helpful in terms of helping keep whatever soil was there
yeah.
usable.
Yeah. And if you want an example of that, go watch Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, where the entire town is run on pig feces. Just saying. Anyway, I figured out, and Josh helped me out if I'm miscounting, there's like probably 5 states a care can be in. Unopened and inhabited. So that's one, which is probably rare. Opened and empty, because everybody made it out through the scourge, unbothered.
Yeah, and they would have taken most of their stuff with them. And
yeah. Number 3, collapsed and not rebuilt, which is the early versions. had to start from scratch again. Number 4, a still sealed care, but was breached by a horror and everything went bad.
That's definitely one.
And I think number 5 is the care failed by structure, failed by thirst, failed by starvation, or failed by suffocation.
Failed by some other method than being breached by the horrors.
Yeah. I can't think of anything other than those 5.
That last one, there's a lot of sort of subcategories of that. You could have Agreed. Starvation, dying of thirst, physical collapse.
Yeah.
You know, if something happened that a significant portion of the care got damaged and collapsed, if the population dropped too low, or mm-hmm. perhaps the growing caves got cut off or something like that. That's kind of starvation method.
Yeah.
Something failed in terms of the air cleaner's suffocation.
Lack of resources. Yeah. Disease.
Disease or plague or something like that. When you've got an enclosed area, especially if you don't have Questers of Garland or something like that who would be able to more easily deal with plague. I mean, we just had a recent example of, zoonotic cross-contamination that caused major problems. Could go in and have illnesses that the animals carry with them that aren't necessarily a problem for people.
Yeah.
But that make the jump to humans or other name givers and mm-hmm. cause big problems that way. But yeah, everybody got out okay, so it's open and more or less empty of much yeah. of interest. Early care collapsed, never actually completed, nobody mm-hmm. ever actually lived in it. Yeah. Also not one that's likely to have much of anything of interest in it.
Or value, yeah.
Or value. Still sealed. So there are sort of two categories for that in certain terms of the still sealed.
Yep.
People are still in it, or...
Either alive or dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, people are still in it, basically, whether they are alive or whether they are dead as a result of starvation, collapse, all those things we just talked about.
Calamity, yeah.
Or broken into by a horror. And it's mm-hmm. that last category that's sort of the iconic Earth Dawn care delving
totally.
Expedition.
Yeah.
That is going into a place that fell to the horrors and thus has all sorts of fun stuff that you can go yeah. with there. And you could actually also have the subcategory of still sealed, people are in it, but maybe under the thrall of a horror who is keeping them alive for its own purposes.
Totally. Because, I mean, if you think about it, the entire population of Barsafe, or the Earth, had to go underground in caves, citadels, whatever. You're talking a lot of cares would be around, geographically speaking. So, you know, you got some opportunities.
Yeah, even with the much, much smaller global population than you have compared to today.
No. Yeah.
There's still a lot of space that things could happen in.
Yeah. Kind of the idea to get people to go to a care feels to me kind of like an Indiana Jones movie. You got to do some research, you got to explore your records, and you got to figure out what you're going there for. You know, X doesn't always mark the spot. Ha ha ha. That was a funny one in the movie. So you've researched, you've planned, you've packed, you've traveled, you've actually found it. So has it been breached? The traps may still await you. The rubble, there's some blocked tunnels. To your point, don't map out every single square inch of the place. If you don't want to draw any more map, yeah, there's a cave in this tunnel. You can't lift the rocks. Move on. Go from there. Are you going in the front door? Are you crafting an alternative entrance? Or are you improvising your entrance? Are you, you know, we had to get into the, as you said, Kaer Talon in Terror in the Skies. You had to come in from the top and descend down. So...
most cares didn't actually have a back door. They would because the more doors that you have overall, the weaker it is because yeah. there are multiple ways that things could get in.
Yes.
So there's generally only one entrance that is sort of like designed entrance slash exit. But it is possible that you could finagle other ways to do it. Actually, I'm reminded of the story that's in the first part of the survival guide. Mm-hmm. Where they actually take shelter in a cave one night and the troubadour mentor goes, oh, this looks like it actually could be an entrance to a care. Well, mm-hmm. we'll mark that down and come back later because we are not prepared to go venturing and we don't know what this could be or what yeah. could be down there. And we are not ready to face whatever yeah. it might be.
We have no supplies. We have no backup. No one knows where we are. Yeah. Not ready for this right now. So
we'll
definitely.
Come back to this.
Or is it sealed, to Josh's point? Did it fail? And by what cause? So Game Master, as you're planning out this story, as you're planning out the care, what caused the care to fail? Plague, conflict, murders, horror, suffocation, starvation, any of these possible things. Thirst. Will there be bodies? Skeletons? Cadaverment? No idea. If it's operating alive... are the people in there, since you've care knocked, are they trusting of you? Are they suspicious? How many survivors? Are any of them tainted? Are there racial...
what is their culture like yeah. after all this time? What kind exactly. of potential cultural drift could there have been?
Yeah.
There's the gimme. There's the... I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. The basic idea that part of the reason that culture did not... drift and collapse really the way that it would have when you've got 400 years of hundreds of isolated settlements with no contact with each other, that you have the Book of Tomorrow. You have this unifying idea that Dwarves of Thrall made available. But what perhaps will happen with a Kaer that did not get a copy of the book?
Yeah.
It's really one of the interesting things that we're looking at as we're working on the Europa book, because Europa was a city that was founded by the descendants of multiple separate Kaers. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I'm trying to build into that is a variety of cultural points of view that fuel the overall culture of the city, but also some of the conflicts that underlie it.
Yeah.
That you have the dwarven community there that was kind of part of the dwarven Kaer mostly have this cultural background and ideas and whatnot that they had.
Yeah.
That they were ostensibly part of Thrall, like they were the original sort of administrators and designers and whatnot for Kaers in the area that came down from Thrall, but they have spent 500 years separated from the kingdom as a whole, and so are not Thrallic dwarves as we know them. They have their own ideas and culture, and that could be something of a shock to visitors to the city expecting dwarves to be Thrallic dwarves.
Yeah, there's a slight schism in that development.
Right, and the trolls of Ustrecht, or not Ustrecht, I'm sorry, the trolls of Arras Nahem.
Yeah.
That escaped their own Kaer at the tail end of the Scourge as it was collapsing, essentially, and made it there. What kind of effect does that background have on their culture and their outlook? Because culture is shaped by history and environment.
Yes.
And so there is a very different point of view that, say, the Tuskrang would have, because of the experience that they had, compared to the trolls, compared to the orcs, compared to the elves and humans. And so you're getting this real interesting melting pot of different cultures that have been together long enough now that there is some
contamination, there's some
stewing that has happened. There's some mixing. And how is that going to be dealt with?
Makes a nice melange.
Yeah, you're sort of getting to the orcs and the orcs especially, and the trolls to a certain extent, but maybe the humans a little bit as well. You're now a couple of generations removed from the founders of the city. There is going to be a very different idea that those descendants have from, say, the elves, who probably still have people that remember the Kaers and remember, or at least their parents remember, the founding of the city.
Yes.
There's a lot of interesting stuff that you can have there. And to get back to the point of this episode, designing and developing the story of your Kaer and the amount of detail that you may want to come up with for that will largely depend on how much of an influence and how much of a role it is going to be playing within your game.
Yeah.
If it is just going to be a spot that the characters visit for a session or two in order to find the key knowledge for a thread item, then you don't necessarily need to go into the amount of detail that you would if it is to serve as a contrast.
Yeah.
Thus care the community that they grew up in or are still a part of as the early part of the game, where you're going to want to have NPCs and things like that, personalities and conflicts and so forth.
Yeah.
Really, the things that you need to keep in mind when you are developing your own Kaer, you are in many ways, structurally speaking, only limited by your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Kaer in Lost Kaer is a vertical Kaer.
Yes.
There are stairways that lead to different levels that people live on, and something has, like, part of the mystery, part of the story of that novel is that there are large sections of that Kaer that for some reason are abandoned and not being used anymore.
Yeah, the lower levels, the lowest.
Yeah, and the lower levels, because the population has shrunk, or like that's something that is sort of part of the story of what is going on there. You like say that, and you say that like there is no wasted space in a care, but now we've got a care that is larger than the population needs. What happens to those areas that people don't need anymore?
Yeah.
Or in contrast, is it a care where the population, like maybe you have a much larger population of orcs and humans that tend to have larger families? That's going to put a very different pressure on that community. Mm-hmm. For example, we're pulling things from sources here. Talisman. The care there, the later part of the Scourge, the later story there, has that care being very crowded.
Yes.
With houses sort of having been built up the walls and on top of each other in order to provide space for people to live in. And that's not that was not part of the original design.
No, but you got to make do with what you got.
And there is some social stratification that comes about as a result of those living conditions.
Yes.
And so there is a lot that you can do with a care and the design of it. You just need to keep in mind that it is a closed environment. You need to figure out how the people are surviving there. Mm-hmm. Growing spaces, both crops and livestock, living space. How are they getting their water? How are they dealing with their waste?
Yep.
All of that sort of stuff. You need to kind of keep that all in mind. Fortunately, magic can do a lot.
Magic solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, magic can solve a lot of problems. It can also introduce problems all its own. We didn't mention, I might have briefly mentioned it, but mentioned water. Mm-hmm. The water source would obviously be one of the most highly guarded and protected areas, because without food, you would die. But without water, you absolutely would die. There is no way that you would be able to grow crops if your water source dried up.
Well, and you need to reclaim the water as well and clean it.
Potentially reclaim water. Might not be as much of an issue if you are able to tap into, say, an underground spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that is potentially a weak spot. If you are actually tapping into underground water table, underground lake, river, stream, or whatever, that might be a theoretically, for a care's purposes anyway, limitless supply of water. But that water's coming from somewhere.
It's suspect. It's vulnerable as well.
That is a way that a horror could potentially get inside. And so if there is a well or something like that, it's likely to have magical protections of some sort. You know, that's why sort of wealthier cares, I'm sure, would be more likely to have bound water spirits or connections to the elemental plane of water as a better source, a safer source, because that doesn't provide a weak point in the defenses that could potentially be breached without needing to dig through hundreds of feet of rock.
Yeah, it's a more physically vulnerable point than a magical portal to the elemental plane of water. Much more magically protected, as far as just game stats are concerned, much less anything else. So yeah, if it's operating alive, are the people behind that care door trusting? Are any of them tainted? What's the racial composition of your care? What's the state of the survivors? How's their emotional, mental, or physical state? Always think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs when you're building your care. To your point, you know, food, shelter, water, where do they get all that fun stuff from? And if it's operating alive, people are alive inside, the traps are still likely intact. All the magical wards are in place. All the physical barriers are in place because they haven't made it out yet. And so what is the state of your care? Like I said, is it failed and everyone's dead? Is it operating? They're still alive, so forth and so on. But let's say you make it in. Congrats. What'd you find? Are there traps again? Is there a secret storeroom of treasures that everybody had? Because people didn't know if they were gonna make it out alive. They weren't like hoarding coins and gold and stuff. There's probably not a lot of money in there, but maybe gemstones, because that's naturally occurring. Is anything in there that's magical? And or is it cursed? Are there sculptures and other artworks that you're going for? We mentioned tapestries earlier, frescoes maybe. Is there lore you're going to go get? Or is there some kind of literature or spell book? Or what's the prize at the end of this care delve?
Right. And that may not be something that the group is necessarily aware of ahead of time. It is not uncommon, it is more common, in fact, for groups to be going to a care for a particular purpose, that there is something that they believe is in there that they are after.
Yeah.
But by the same token, it could just be, especially if you've got maybe a game set earlier than the default time period. Mm-hmm. If you've got a game set earlier after the Scourge,
yeah,
could have a very effective campaign where the group perhaps works for His Majesty's Exploratory Force.
Totally.
And is part of an organization, a group that is going out and finding cares that are recorded within Thrall's archives, mm-hmm, and going out to find out what happened to them. Are the people still there? Are we going to let them know what's going on? The Westmarch's game,
yes,
is kind of built around that idea. It is set not long after the Scourge and is kind of based out of Thrall and kind of expands out and explores from there. So that's something to keep in mind. Really, there is a lot. I feel like we are only kind of just
scratching the
doing
surface.
A surface level.
Yeah.
There is so much that can be done here, and I feel like I want to refer people to other sources to look into to get a kind of sense. It's not as maybe directly applicable,
mm-hmm,
but you could absolutely go down the rabbit hole with, say, civic planning YouTube. There is whole ecosystem of people talking about civic design and civil engineering and infrastructure.
Yeah.
That you could use as source fodder for designing your own cares. And remember, cares were communities. They likely had, again, hundreds, if not thousands of people,
mm-hmm,
living within them. You're not likely to see a care that was just a village of 50 to 60 people. It was more common for multiple small villages to band together, mm-hmm, within a particular area to build a single care that they would all share, because
yes,
it was easier to pool the resources to purchase the rights of protection or whatnot.
Yeah.
So that you would not necessarily be fighting over the prime real estate of where you were going to put it.
And don't go through, like Josh's point, don't fall down the rabbit hole too deep. The people who planned these cares were A, in committees more than likely, had decades to do it, and could, you know, if something didn't go right down this tunnel, they could go down that tunnel instead. They had decades and multiple people involved. If you spend an hour building your care, 2 hours building your care, great. You've done enough.
Again, you need to think about the major things that we talked about in terms of resources and how they survive and whatnot. And then maybe give a little bit of thought to the history of the care. And you kind of talked about this with who lived there, what was the racial makeup, what happened to them over the course of the time from when they first went into the care.
Sealed the doors.
To the present day.
Yeah.
Did they, like Lost Care, have a population drop for some reason?
Mm.
Did they have a population that grew a little bit faster than expected? What is the culture that developed in there and the structure that grew around the fact that you had this very limited space and limited resources to deal with? How does a community like that deal with rule breakers?
Yeah.
It's not like you can exile people.
Go out the door, you.
Yeah.
Take your chances.
The idea of just putting somebody in jail for an extended period of time doesn't really work either, because then they are consuming resources but not contributing anything themselves.
Yeah. Do they do more work detail? Do they do a lesser job? Do they do the waste reclamation, which nobody wants to do?
There is a lot of detail and a lot of thought that you can put into a care, but you don't need to put more into it than you need for
your story.
The purpose of the care in the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't burn yourself out just creating the care and getting down to all the specifics. Tell your story. Just know the important details.
if the care is going to be a significant factor in the game for whatever reason, for some period of time, then yeah, you may want to devote a little bit more time and attention to it.
Yeah.
But if it's a breached care that nobody's alive is in anymore and it fell to a horror, or even if, you know, it fell to other reasons or whatever and they've got in, you just kind of need to get a sense of what the layout is and what the conditions were at the time, and then whatever kind of creature encounters or stuff that you might come across.
Yeah.
Don't do more work than you have to.
Yes. Unless the entire purpose is to go figure out what happened to the care, then you have to have all those details.
Right.
But, you know, you're not here to play CSI bar save, unless that's really what you're trying to do. But otherwise, you know, go tell your heroic fantasy thing, get the important item, go through the traps, get out, you know, tell your story. Can you think of any references, books, movies, TV shows that kind of take place in a secluded area where they all kind of have to get along? I came across one that I was like, if you just transferred this into a fantasy setting, this is Earth Dawn. It's the book and the movie based upon the book, City of Ember. Have you ever come across that?
I recognize the name, but I don't know it offhand.
Yeah, everyone's underground in one big community, and they have to remember how to get out.
There's generally not going to be a lot of fantasy versions of that. A lot of what you're going to need to do is look into science fiction and adapt it to fantasy.
Agreed.
Anything that deals with extraterrestrial, like off Earth environments, habitats, like on the moon or
on a spaceship.
On a spaceship or Mars. I mean, look at The Expanse, for example. The communities in the asteroid belt.
Yes.
That have limited Belters. Space. That's one possibility. There's a apparently there's a series on Apple TV called Silo, which is basically an idea of a community that is in a limited environment and having to deal with that.
Yeah.
Those are the two big ones that sort of come to mind off the top of my head. The first book of The Maze Runner.
Oh, yeah.
Could work as some sort of inspiration, just in terms of like there is a community within a limited area. And how does that community deal with, like, there are some aspects of that that aren't directly compatible, but
fair.
There's some interesting thoughts there.
No, just places to get started. So I figured I would ask the question. I only literally just started watching The Expanse a couple weeks ago.
It's a good show.
So I'm digging it. I'm going to go get the whole series now that it's out. So yeah, one of those things. Any further thoughts on care creation or care exploration survivability?
No, just to recap the things that we've already said, the things that you need to keep in mind when you are designing a care. Otherwise, it is limited only by your imagination and what you want to put in there.
Agreed. Yeah. All the other episodes.
And don't do more work than you have to.
That's the big takeaway. Because all the episodes we did about the other inhospitable areas and all the things to watch out for kind of led into things to watch out for when you're going to go care exploring. So if you have any questions for us, folks, or you want to tell us about the care you devised, we would love to hear about it, because not a lot of care development took place in the published materials. So by all means, if you have something, send it to us at edsgpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, don't spend too much time preparing your care for your legend.
Good night, everybody.